Welcome to MedShark Insider with Bill Fukui, your expert host on all things medical marketing and SEO.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of MedShark Digital's Insider. And today I have a special guest who is both a clinician as well as an entrepreneurial spirit that has combined both understanding patients, understanding treatment, but also understanding the business of dentistry. And really an aspect that one of my consultant friends, Joanne Tanner, said, you got to talk to Dr. Ahani because he really has some really cool things. So today my guest is Dr. Sam Ahani, and he is the co-founder of Shoreview Dental, right? Is it Shoreview Dental?
Yeah.
And you are located out in Pacifica. My in-laws used to live out there, so I'm very familiar. Beautiful part of the country. So welcome, Dr. Ahani.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Bill. Thanks for having me.
No, not a problem. And really, I'm going to kind of get right to it. You know, Joanne had mentioned referrals and referral marketing, and a little bit of my background. I've been in dental, you know, advertising and marketing for the better part of 25 years. I actually started doing orthodontic television ads back in the, you know, early 90s.
Wow.
So any case, what I found even in practices that spent a lot of money on marketing, and I had clients spending, and you even see today, some clients will spend 5, 10. I've got some clients that were spending as much as $15,000-$20,000 a month to generate new leads and get more patients, which is great. I mean, it certainly pays for my paycheck. But really what I found was that the healthiest practices were ones that didn't rely on just what we, you know, brought to the table in terms of advertising and marketing. It's stuff that they were doing internally and referrals and stuff like that. So give me an idea, you know, kind of where you're coming from. Give the audience a little bit of background on you and kind of where you're, this idea of referral marketing and how that all came about to be with what you're doing now.
Okay. So, you know, I don't know how far back you want me to go, but I've been a dentist for about 20 years, graduated in 1995 from University of Pacific, shout out.
Nice.
And, you know, since then I've been a clinician and I've always also been involved in like the business side of dentistry. We've had, you know, an ortho office, we've had other dental offices and, you know, I've done implants, I've done Invisalign. So I'm one of those guys who just can't, you know, kind of sit still and sort of do the same thing day in and you know, kind of day in and day out. You know, some of my other things that I've done is, you know, my parents had a, you know, motel when I was in high school and I used to, you know, to help them run it. And then they had a glass company and I had my own glass company.
Wow.
And then, you know, had a martial arts academy, you know, so I'm one of those guys who does, you know, who tries different things and I can't, I don't really sit, you know, I don't really sit still.
Okay.
You know, throughout the years, I've seen a lot of, you know, different kinds of dental offices. You know, I talk to a lot of my friends. And so this idea came about because, you know, I have, it's not exactly referral marketing. This is a, my software is about specialist referrals.
Okay.
So, you know, over the years, I come from a family of dentists. My brother's an endodontist. My cousin's an oral surgeon. My wife's a pediatric dentist. My other cousin's a dentist. The other cousin's a dentist. We've got a whole bunch of dentists in the family. So kind of the idea came
I wonder about. What's going to be, at, you know, when this COVID thing is over and you guys are actually going to sit down to Thanksgiving. I wonder what the topic's going to be about.
Yeah, it's a lot of dental talk as much as I try to prevent it. But the idea came about because, you know, when we were sitting around the table talking about patients, I'd be like, did you see Mr. So-and-so? My brother would be like, I don't think we've seen him. You know, maybe it was something important. And I was like, oh, let me go check. And then I would check in the next day and I would be like, oh, he hasn't come to see you yet. And he hasn't. So then we'd have to like reach out to the patient and see, you know, what happened and whatnot. So I realized there's really no good way of tracking it. And what really triggered it for me was that one time I was talking to my orthodontist, and I asked him, "Hey, Peter, how many referrals do you get from us a month?" Mm-hmm. And he said, "I think 8." And then when we looked at in our books, it's more like 11 or 12.
Okay.
And I said, "No, how many are we sending you a month?" He goes, "Yeah, 8. So he didn't realize that there's like a big gap between what we're sending him and what he's actually, you know, getting. Because of the paper referral system, basically you're leaving it up to patients to call. So a lot of them drop off through the process. Not a lot of studies in dentistry on this, but in medical, as much as 50% of specialist referrals don't go filled. Like they never show up.
I mean, you think about that. If you're talking 3 patients a month, that's 36 patients a year.
Yeah.
Patients a year.
But think about it. That's from one referral source.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So
that's just one source.
Yeah. It's a really big deal. I mean, I kind of, our system basically does what, you know, Kaiser and Sutter Health and all these guys do. If they give you a referral, they don't just hand you a paper slip and go, "See you later." By the time you're, you know, getting in the car, somebody's calling you to try to schedule that appointment. Right.
Yeah.
So, and that's kind of what we're trying to recreate. So we're trying to create a way of creating networks for dentists and specialists and patients to kind of connect with each other. And that's what the software is all about.
Okay. So give me an idea. You obviously have spent a fair amount of time researching in terms of, because at the end of the day, it all boils down to, is it worth our time and resources to invest in stuff in a practice, because we've got so many, you know, staff is busy doing stuff. Dentists are busy doing stuff. There is a, what I would call a declining return on investment when it requires a lot of time and resources and changes in protocols, you know, that kind of stuff. It
right.
just diminishes on the execution, but also on the profitability of it. So how do you address that when it comes to managing referrals from, you know, from specialist to GP?
Yeah. Let me start by saying this. It seems like there's like two kinds of practices. One kind of practice is that is the kind of practice that you were talking about, where they spend $15,000-$20,000 on marketing a month. All they look at is the number of new patients that come in the door. New patients aren't really as good as your existing patients, but they can keep a practice going. Mm-hmm. So I have friends who spend $15,000-$20,000 on marketing a month, and then we have practices like mine where we do stuff to just keep the clients in our loop. Like we don't let them, escape our sphere as much as we can. So both of our practices do about the same amount as far as production and things like that. But they spend a lot more money on marketing and they depend on new patients, whereas we try to keep our own patients in the loop. As far as level of difficulty of implementing like my software, it saves time, but it's just a different way of doing it. You know, implementing my software is super, super easy. It's one of those things where you just make a small shift. For example, you just put all the referral slips in your drawer. And then you just teach a few staff members how to use it. They'll kind of teach everybody else how to use it. It takes about literally a minute to create a referral this way. But what you have at the end of the day is a list of all your referrals in one place. And also you get some feedback from the specialists and the patients on what's going on with that referral. As an example, like the patients get a text after a week, say, "Have you scheduled this appointment?" And then if they say yes or no, that shows up on your dashboard. And then if the specialist schedules the appointment on our software, that shows up on the dashboard. And when it's completed, and then you can upload all your, you can upload everything into the referral. And so everything is in the same place and it's organized. And our system pushes people to make those appointments. Like it sends reminders, "Have you made your appointment yet?" It's kind of like exactly like what we do for recall systems. We don't just say, "Come back in 6 months, hand them a paper, you know, piece of paper and go."
Right.
It sends reminders. It kind of gets the patients to sort of go. I should say that, you know, about half of lawsuits in dentistry have some element of this like miscommunication between patients, specialists and dentists in it. So our software actually helps with that also.
Oh, that you bring up a really good point. It is more than just managing the actual tracking of the referrals, but also facilitates the communication.
That's right. And then, like I said, a huge portion of the lawsuits are around basically like wrong tooth numbers. So we like make them verify the tooth numbers, or you never referred me.
Yes. So
even though there's a note in the chart, that really doesn't mean that the patient got that referral slip or really was talked to. You know, kind of, you can easily see that you tell your assistant, "Hey, refer Mr. Smith for, you know, to take a look at this lesion." Mm-hmm. But you know, they can even make out the slip, put the copy in the thing, but never talk to the patient. So when the patient gets the text and gets reminders and things, there's no way to kind of say, you know, that you never went.
Right.
So, you know, beyond that, Bill, though, it's just a much nicer handoff. If the you know, we're promoting that the specialists call the patients and make an appointment. You can easily see that 30 to 40% more people will go if they mm-hmm. just somebody on the other side reaches out versus them, you know, with all the angst they have about going to the specialist, going to the dentist.
Right.
A nice soft voice on the other side could really easily, you know, make them go versus just let it sit on the refrigerator door.
You know, you bring up a really good point, and I do talk about to practices when they're even doing their marketing, whether it's their website or whether it's Joanne talking about, you know, the patient experience and this wow factor when they come into the office. That whole patient experience, and especially now that you've got reviews and all those things now affecting that, you know, the end consumer has so much more power in this relationship.
That's right.
Where facilitating that and exceeding it, we've got tools at our, you know, disposal now that practices really don't use. But I think some of the studies that I've seen, whether it's you know, recalls and things where you're leveraging technology and digital communication, let's face it, consumers, they live on their smartphones, they live on their computers. Many times, it's not even a phone call sometimes. It's the text messaging.
You know, so our software is built for general dentists to handle the referrals, okay? But just think about this. If you keep sending somebody to the same specialist over and over again, and those patients are having bad experiences at that specialist, yeah. for example, and you never know, because who's going to come and tell you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're not going to tell you. They know the specialist is your friend. So we're kind of creating, you know, ways of getting some input from patients and just surfacing them to like the referring doctor or to the specialist, just so that they can know what, you know, we're very busy. Like, we don't have time for this. We don't have time to like send surveys to patients or call a patient and see how that referral. I mean, I'm sure that some people do it, but by and large, you've got so many other things that are. So any automating any of this stuff, I think is really worthwhile in the office. I mean, how many software can you say that you can just implement it probably in 10 minutes mm-hmm. and then it just follows the referrals and how
it just does it.
It just does it. It's an absolute, you know, in my mind, I mean, I wouldn't have built it if I knew it wasn't a no-brainer. It's an absolute no-brainer that you should be having some kind of system to follow these patients through the process the best as possible. If you've got a system, great. If you don't, ours is a really clean and good one.
That sounds great. How many clients or how many dentists do you have using the software right now?
We have about 200 offices on the platform, and
oh,
some
okay.
of them are just receiving, some of them are sending, but to varying degrees. The best implementation are like the networks of specialists that all use it with all their general dentists. And, you know, specialists refer between each other also. Mm-hmm. So tracking those patients through those referral processes is also important too. You send them for the root canal, but now it's got to be extracted. So there's a lot of things we can do as far as, you know, keeping those patients, you know, happy, keeping them informed on what they need to do next. It's all built for general dentists, but it's focused on the patient experience. So we're trying to really improve that handoff between specialists and general dentists so that patients are happy.
You know, the one other thing that I've heard on occasion is they're more reluctant to refer out patients to practices, even though they know that this practitioner is really good at what they do. but they're almost afraid to refer them because they may not see that patient again.
That's really the whole, you know, okay, so every, for over, you know, 25 years, even though it's my brother and my cousin I'm referring to, every time I hand a referral to a patient who needs a lot of work, like they need, you know, that number 14 needs a root canal, but they need, you know, all kinds of stuff, but that number 14 is bothering them. So, you know, they need $30,000 worth of stuff. They finally got the guts to come in, but there's that one root canal that I cannot do in the office because it's just, you know, too difficult. As I'm handing that referral to the patient, I'm like, I wonder if I'm ever going to see you again.
You again.
And then I, you know, I hand it to the patient and then I go up to the front and say, Jeanette, could you please make sure Mr. Smith, you know, comes back after his root canal. She'll make a note, you know, she'll put a sticky on her thing. She'll put a note in the calendar. Maybe she follows up once, you know, to see what happened or whatever.
Right.
But if I tell any office, give me a report of everybody you referred out in the last 6 months and, you know, what their status is and stuff like that, they wouldn't be able to create
that. They can't tell. Yeah.
They can't create it. And guess what? In my office, we refer out 30 to 50 patients a month. If you'd asked me, I would have told you it was like 15 or 20. And just to give you some sense of scale, that's about how many new patients we get a month. So we're kind of getting them in one hand and kind of handing and getting them out the other hand. It's a really big problem that people don't recognize. It's almost akin to your recalls. Like if you just let patients through and not you know, reschedule them through recall and stuff, you're basically doing the same thing. You spend all that money and time establishing those relationships. And guess what? Your referred patients are typically your best patients. You know, you're not going to, somebody you know is not, doesn't have money, who's not going to follow through or doesn't care, you're likely not going to, you know, send that to the specialist because, you know, it's just a waste of their time. They're probably not going to do it, right? So these patients are actually vetted, and a lot of times they're like your best patients that you're sending.
Right. You know, one of the other things that I found, and this is even 20, 25 years ago when I was working with some of the specialists, primarily orthodontic specialists, more and more dentists, even the specialists now, are doing marketing. Like you kind of mentioned some clients that are spending $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 a month on marketing. Some of those are actually specialists now. The specialists are now going straight to the consumer, direct to consumer marketing, where they didn't do that before as much.
Yeah.
But I think now you're starting to see, it used to be the GPs were always the kind of the entryway into the dental community. Now they're, patients can enter through all different ways.
You've touched on like a sore spot for me because, you know, for years I've been telling like my oral surgeon, like, you know, my cousins and not my brother so much because he's an endodontist. You're not going to probably, but my orthodontist, for example,
yes,
I was like, why don't you market? Well, first of all, if everybody's sending you patients, you don't really need to market. Marketing is not cheap, right? But the point is, like, how come I'm the only one sending you patients? Why can't you refer me a patient? You know, well, why don't you market, get the patient, if they need something before their ortho, send them to me. And, you know, now I'm seeing that a little bit more. I see nothing wrong with like an oral surgeon marketing implants, for example,
yes,
even wisdom teeth. What's wrong with it? They're dentists. If there are other stuff that needs to be done, they recognize that the same way that we recognize, you know, when it's time to send or not to send. What is the reason not to just, you know, do that so that, you know, what it'll end up being is more new patients overall.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And it's
so
I've been talking this talk for a long time. I always tell my specialists, why am I the only one marketing?
Yeah.
Why don't you guys market? I mean, what better marketing is it for them if they're sending me 5 or 10 new patients a month?
Mm-hmm. Well, am I going to send it
to anybody else?
Yeah. Well, I think the other thing too is, you know, when you have those kind of relationships and you use technology to somewhat validate and actually quantify, put a dollar amount on in terms of what that the value of that relationship is, it becomes much more of an adhesive in terms of loyalty when it comes to marketing and referring, things like that. I will say that, you know, when I was doing a lot of TV for orthodontics, that was one of the things that I would always encourage them to do was use this as a way of building your referral business, because you're going to be, you know, accessing patients now that need services that you don't do. And now you can actually start building relationships with these other GPs that never sent you anything, but you got to have that back and forth. And I think managing that so that it becomes transparent.
That's exactly right.
Now, all of a sudden, they can see business grow in ways they really didn't think about before.
Since I'm on my software now a lot, you know, I'm looking at these things. We do have a couple of our specialists who now are marketing who actually send us patients.
Oh, great.
Versus some of the other ones that don't. And now I can just click and I can see with one click what they've sent me, you know, one time frame and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. If they're sending you any patients at all, the likelihood that you send them patients becomes 10x. Yeah. Specialists, listen to me. the best way you can establish relationships with your GPs is to reciprocate sending them clients. I think they recognize this, but they all just wait for the one patient who's like, I'm sick of my dentist. And they're like, yes, secretly under the table, sending them like, go see this guy, you know, because they don't want to lose, you know, either one of those.
Yes. Yeah. But I do think that there, especially for the ones that are doing a lot of direct to consumer marketing. I mean, I think the studies I saw early on, and I don't think they've changed too much, is that, you know, you got 50% of the American population that doesn't have a regular, you know, dentist. They're free floaters.
It seems like more, but I've heard that before. I see nothing wrong with specialist marketing and then referring to general dentists and vice versa. What is the problem with that? I really like that idea. Overall, it grows dentistry and it's good for the patients too.
I think at the end of the day, you have more compliant patients, more educated patients, and patients that are not afraid. I think with new technology today, you know, the whole, you know, fear factor of dentistry, the, you know, being a coward, whatever it is. I think a lot of that is, you know, especially with today's technology and with information that's accessible to consumers online, whether it's their websites and stuff, patients can learn so much more about it, where half of the fear was of the unknown.
Once
patients understand that there are options and that, you know, the outcomes that they can expect, I think it kind of changes. And I think we're going to see a change in consumers. I think the one thing that isn't going to change is dental insurance, which has driven a lot of the marketplace. But I think you're starting to see more and more consumers kind of take control of that themselves.
That's right. So, and, you know, one of the things that we do think about a lot when we're creating new features and stuff is that, you know, giving patients a little bit of control over this like referral process, for example, our appointment requests that can be done, you know, directly, or, you know, having them be able to give some feedback at the end, it helps them to, you know, to have a little bit of control and maybe take a little bit of the angst about, you know, going to somebody brand new. Let's face it, they didn't want to come to see you to begin with either. Mm-hmm. And now you're sending them to somebody else and they're supposed to just like call over there and set the whole thing up. It's a little bit, you know, it's not like they're going for a manicure, it's not something that they look forward to. So anything you can do to make them feel better, feel more, you know, loved, like, and taken care of, that's your best ticket to having a successful practice.
Well, and I think the other thing too is when the expectations are so low, when I'm going in and it's something that I'm not really expecting this, you know, as you said, it's not something I'm looking forward to. But yet, if the experience and the communication and experience is so different than what I expected, it doesn't take much to raise the bar in terms of, you know, exceeding patients' expectations, because I think it's pretty low. I think patients' expectations of dentistry is pretty low in general.
Absolutely. And the problem, though, I think is, Bill, the dentists are doing dentistry. Mm-hmm. And so if you were like the CEO and you were sitting in your office and watching how the thing operates, and, you know, like, you know, some, like, now offices have, you know, like, there's a lot of dentists, just CEO type of guys out there, right?
Yeah.
What are they focusing on? Who answered the calls? Don't let it go to voicemail. You know, they're focusing on that stuff. when normal dentist is back there, you know, doing fillings and dealing with like scared patients and those kind of things, they're just relying on their front desk for that whole thing. And by the way, the front desk, guess who trained them? The same guy.
Yeah.
Or nobody.
So nobody.
Right. So if that's the case, then putting any kind of systems in place, and it's difficult. I know I've run practice for 25 years. I know it's very difficult to be like in the back and in the front and try to I always put my office very close to the front up until this last build. I would always put it right, you know, behind the front desk because I always wanted to hear, you know, how they were answering the calls. And that was like the best controls, you know, kind of controls that I have. Now we've got other kind of controls that we use that can see, you know, how many calls were missed, how many. It's just, you know, it's just really hard for a dentist who's just working to even think about those things, you know, all the time. But it's super important.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Now, this session today was really not necessarily intended to be a promotion, but I want people to know how to access information about your, you know, the name of your software, how they can get information on it, because I think that this is stuff that they need to know. So I don't want to be promotional, but I want you to be able to get that information to them.
Listen, I was happy to talk about anything, but this one is pretty near and dear to my heart. You can hardly have a conversation with me without me spinning it around somehow to referrals right now. So that's just the way my brain is. So sorry if I did that.
I think this is perfect.
So the software is called Refera.com. I just want to say again, it is made for general dentists to be able to use it regardless of the fact that the specialist engages it or not. So it's just, you know, everything's run through email. And we do have a free version that you can just try. And it's free for specialists. It's free for general dentists. Right now we're just charging if you want integration, which does make things a lot easier and easier to do. But and then, you know, just ping us on the website. We're happy to answer any questions for you. Our phone number is there too. It's Refera.com, Refera.com.
That sounds great. And I appreciate you sharing that. And I actually, you sent me some videos just to kind of explain some of the features of it and such. Really, really helpful. And I, you know, there were some aspects of managing referrals, execution and implementation of that process that, you know, was, I've been in the business for 25 years and I haven't seen, you know, a lot of the stuff that you had in there, which was enlightening, because as much as I'm big on getting those new patients and marketing and branding your practice, there's no doubt, I agree with you, the highest quality leads or potential for new revenue is your existing patients.
There's no question. If you want to have a great practice, do your marketing, but also make sure you keep those patients in the loop. And it's the way that, you know, it's how your practice becomes stable and you don't never have any up months, down months. If you're having any problems with that, look at how you're keeping patients in the loop.
You know, and I even think in light of what's gone on around us this last year with, you know, pandemic and all this other stuff, I've seen practices that just rely on their marketing and advertising. Boy, they really took a hit. The ones that are more diversified, that have, you know, especially loyal, have developed loyal, not only patients, but loyal relationships. Those are things that you can't buy. You can't just buy that stuff.
You know, I would say it's easy to keep a good relationship with anybody for a year or two, but it's a different story to keep a good relationship with somebody for 25 years.
A long time.
You got to be thinking about it all the time.
Yeah. And I think what you're doing is enlightening. And I actually look forward to working with you, doing more stuff, even outside of dentistry. I mean, this is really, really good stuff. It's really important.
I appreciate it. Me too. And it's just fun talking to you.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Ahani, thank you again for your time today. And again, Refera.com is the website. Look for more information there. Whether you use the software or not, start taking a closer look at what you're doing to manage those referrals, both to and from your providers. I think it will make for a more bulletproof practice when it comes to consistency, as you're saying, in terms of revenue. You can avoid those really peaks and valleys in terms of, you know, you hate to see those valley months. Those are, quite frankly, no fun.
Nerve-wracking, right? It's nerve-wracking that every month you have to look to the next to see what's happening there. So the more you stabilize it, the better.
Yeah. Thank you again, and I appreciate you today.
Thank you very much.
Great afternoon, Dr. Ahani.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Okay. Take care, Bill. Okay. Bye-bye. Bye.
Thanks for joining us for the MedShark Insider with Bill Fukui. Join us next week for another dive into all things medical marketing. All episodes can be streamed at www.medsharkdigital.com/medshark-insider.